Hello everyone, sorry for the first start, there was no sound at the start. It's been a while since it's been happening. We had 7 or 10 days of good shows without a no sound problem on the live, but something happened today, I guess. I don't know if Odyssey is back to their old back end. Hopefully this doesn't repeat too often. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Tonight is a chill show. Ask me anything. And I have some news. And I have a product of my garden. I'm so proud of it. Look at this beautiful cherry. I've been planting this tree, I think, 2 years ago. So after 2 years, it's giving its first cherries. A lot of the early cherries that showed up on the cherry tree, they disappeared. I don't know. I first thought that the birds were eating them, but since I've seen this cherry survive, I think what's possible is that the cherry never become adult and the tree kind of abandons them. Perhaps the tree was found out that it was too early in the summer, too cold. I think the tree just dropped those cherries and didn't develop them in full. Which is why now I have this surviving cherry that the tree didn't abandon. That would be my only guess, because I would be surprised if animals were eating all of the cherries in the tree, but not this beautiful one cherry. It was so beautiful to look at it with the contrast of colors. Even the photo here doesn't do it justice, because you know, this tree is dark green, really, and there's a little bit too much light on the picture, but the tree is all dark green, like in a jungle almost. And I saw this flashy, beautiful cherry, and this is the first cherry that it ever produced in full, so I will eat it right here. Let's see what it tastes. The adobo cherry tree from Walmart. Excellent cherry. Best, as good as any cherry I've ever eaten. Totally satisfied. Oh my god. That is sweet. That is good. That is perfect. Ariel Sorez says, are they sweet? Yes, very sweet. As sweet as I've ever seen a cherry. You have even darker cherries in the grocery store. This is more sweet, even if it's not as dark, even if it looks pale. It looks like it's not mature, but that's the actual color of this particular cherry tree. It's totally mature and totally ripe and ready to eat. And yes, very sweet. Oh my god. We're going to have a good production of this in the coming years. Go Away has already sent a super chat. He says, JF, peep the first two paragraphs of this article from today. Is marrying a single mother with a daughter a good strategy for extending your reproductive years into your old age? Also, AOC considered using physical violence against our boy Alex. Oh my god. Oh my god, I saw that there was news about the news today, because I saw on Twitter trending that there was Elon Musk's father, there was news about him, but somehow I thought, oh, this must be some crap, and I didn't click on it. I didn't know this. It was this news. Elon Musk's dad, 76, confirms secret second child with his stepdaughter. Oh my god. Yeah, that is a case of, and it's so, so disgusting. Because in a well-ordered society, you have people dating roughly people of their age, and people are loyal to each other, and people don't use each other to get to the child, you know? But there is so much of this. So much of this is brought by divorce and remarriage. You end up having adult males hanging out around young females that they have a kind of dad relationship, stepdad relationship toward them. And yet, they are not biological dads, so there is nothing that comes to inhibit the potential for a sexual relationship as she gets in age of getting a sexual relationship. And so this is one of the big reasons why we need to avoid divorce. It's because it leads to so many interests that are technically allowed by law, but not in the interest of this young woman, not in the interest of the people being exploited and abused through these step-parent relationship. Go away, says Jeff, read the quote at the end of the second paragraph. I think Elon Musk is a watcher if the JFG Tonight Show. The Musk Patriarch 76 welcomed the baby girl with Jana 3-3-5 back in 2019, but only confirmed the news on Wednesday, bragging to the sun, "The only thing we are on Earth for is to reproduce." Oh my God, there is so much baseness running in the Musk family. I was not aware of this. Go away. Thank you very much for sending me that. I mean, you can see in Elon Musk that he's been strongly influenced by this because he's just produced twins apparently with one of his employees while also fucking Grimes just in case, while also supervising his ex's children that are also his children. I mean, it's I think that they have the right idea in general. I have personal qualms, although it's technically legal, you know, for a stepfather to have sex with his stepdaughter. Although it's technically legal, I have personal moral qualms against this. I think it's exploiting a dependence, and even when she comes to be an adult, it's exploiting a dependence and a relationship of admiration that shouldn't be exploited. Like when you have a dad, you admire your dad, and that's healthy. When you have a stepdad, you transfer some of the psychological admiration that you would have had for your dad, but you've been deprived of the possibility to admire your dad, so you end up admiring your stepdad. When the stepdad uses that opportunity to charm a female and to transfer that to sexual reproduction, I think there is a form of deception here and a form of breach of something that should have been respected and preserved, which is the a kind of sanctity for the father-child relationship. And even when you are not a biological father, the parental service that you give to a step daughter or stepson should be given for free. It should be something that you abandon to the universe. It shouldn't be something that you get something in return for. Now, the general idea of we're here to make babies, let's make babies, that is totally fine. Totally fine, and that is true. But there is a breach there, in my view. It's my personal view, though. No doubt that he has the right, and basically, she was 35. So at 35, she's capable of making decisions. I just find this inappropriate personally, but I'm not judging him. It's just not something I would do. But also, I would make sure that in society there are no stepdads and stepmoms. They shouldn't exist other than extreme cases of your husband or wife dying and then you're on the market, maybe. But generally, we shouldn't have a society of stepdads and stepmoms. Well, interesting case, and Go Away was also asking. So is it a good strategy evolutionarily? Well, it's certainly a strategy that's been going on. So a 76-year-old having sex with a 35, the baby girl with Jana 3 and 5. So I don't know that she's 35. It's not clear from this article. 3, 5. Is it the age of the child they have together, or is it the age of the mother? Anyway, the 3 and 5 are separated on a line. So I don't know what that means. But is it an evolutionary strategy that has evolved? Certainly. Certainly. This is why you have twice as much. What do they say? You have twice as much female ancestors as you have male ancestors. That's the reason why. It's because many generations of females pass while the same alpha male is still fucking them. So Elon Musk had his opportunity to make babies when he was 18, 25, 30, and now he's continuing to make babies at 76. That is definitely something that can evolve and that has been the case in humanity. And Go Away was also asking, AOC considered using physical violence against our boy Alex Stein. Yes, and I can't show you the video, but Alex Stein has done a major trolling once again. It's his specialty now. Alex Stein has waited on the steps of the Capitol to see AOC arriving. And I cannot show you the comments that he's done because she has decided to interpret them as being racist. And so I don't want to get in the trouble of relaying these comments. All I will say is that he's made some comments on her ass that she has interpreted as having a racist connotation to them. So Alex Stein was on the steps of the Capitol. And she arrives, and you know how AOC is relatively sexy, very thin, beautiful woman. And so Alex Stein starts yelling to her, "Oh, it's my favorite." And he says a couple of things. My favorite, basically commenting on her ass. And she says, "You're sexy, you're beautiful. Yeah, AOC, I love you, you're sexy." And this falls under First Amendment protected speech. He didn't follow her. He just, as she was passing around him, he made these comments, which came from his heart. So this is First Amendment protected speech. He was not annoying her. He didn't follow her to her home. This was fine. But then AOC misreacted to this because the normal strategy for AOC would have been to go away and then open up her Instagram, start crying, and say, "I've just been the victim of catcalling, racist catcalling." That was an easy one. That was an easy one. Pineapple, do not try to communicate stuff that I have decided I would not communicate on the show. Thank you. So that was an easy decision for AOC, but she didn't do this. She did this. She did go on her Instagram, filmed herself kind of half crying, not really crying, but kind of emotionally shook, and she complained about this happening. But instead of doing just that, before she did that, she went in front of the camera held by Alex Stein as he was commenting on her ass, and she started kind of sarcastically saying, "Yeah, just take a picture of me. Yeah, you want a selfie? Now, I understand the intent. The intent was, you want to treat me like an object, like a sexual object? Here, let me basically act like a prostitute in front of your camera. That's what you want, boy? Yeah, let's do it." Now, this was very sarcastic in her intent, but it doesn't come out as sarcastic at all. It comes out, unfortunately for her, as she kind of likes it. She's okay with this. She's having fun because her professional communicators and her professional staff around her wanted her to keep walking. She decides to stop walking, start posing for the camera with a peace sign with her fingers. So that doesn't sound like abuse to me. You don't walk away from your staff go get exposed to abuse. If it's abuse, you run away from it. You try to avoid it. She tried acting sarcastic against the abuse, and that discredits any claim that it was abuse. I think that ultimately it was First Amendment protected speech, and she played her hand poorly for a leftist. When you're a leftist, you don't want to run back to the abuse. If you're going to claim that this is abuse, you run away from it. And then you have kind of a prima facie case for claiming that it's abuse. pregnant hippo has sent a super chat. Yes, hippos can be pregnant too. Pregnant Hippo says, JF, what are your thoughts on the Daily Wire's policy not to name mass shooters? Does the media attention and fame they receive inspire more people to commit mass shootings? I didn't know it was in their policy, but I'm not surprised because whenever I don't consider the Daily Wire to be a serious source of good news, of well-treated news item. They are very bad at it. They are very bad primary journalists. They are good at attracting attention over commentary as a kind of second degree of processing of the news. But never, never have I clicked on a Daily Wire link and learned anything that I didn't know before. It's like they're not acting like genuine primary journalists. They are acting like second-grade commentators, which is what they are. So what do I think of this policy? I think it's a moral display that is inherently, at the heart of it, is anti-journalism. The journalist, in my view, his first commitment is toward the truth, independent of the consequences. Now, I know that in the modern era, journalists are joining orders, professional orders of all kind. And these professional orders include rules for minimization of harm. I personally do not believe in minimization of harm. I do not believe it is part of the responsibility of journalists to think about the consequences, not too far, at least. You certainly don't want in your journalism to be committing a crime. You don't want to be directly involved in a crime. You don't want to be even causing, proximately someone to commit a crime. But I don't think it's your responsibility to think how the revealing of the truth could eventually lead some other person to commit a crime on his own will. Because if we do this, then we are opening journalism to extortion and terrorism. I mean, imagine I really want to talk about truth A. And in fact, I make a show talking about A every day. Let's talk about A again. Truth A is very important. Let me remake a case for A. Now imagine that some guy in society decides to send an anonymous message to the New York Times saying, every time JF talks about A, I will kill a new person randomly in the US. Now, how do I react to this? Should I say, oh, well, now I'm causing harm talking about truth A? So should I stop talking about truth A? According to the harm minimization policies that a lot of journalists subscribe to, that would be it. You would basically be subject to extortion by someone in the audience deciding that they want you to stop talking about this. So to me, the responsibility must be ordered. The first responsibility of a journalist is truth, the communication of truth. And I think that any consideration of minimization of harm must come as second secondary to it all, such that there is no amount of harm that should justify giving up the truth. Because you not only will add the harm that you think you could cause, or the harm that some people decide that you would cause, but you also have one thing that is not computed in this whole calculation, the harm of not knowing the truth for society. That harm, this feeling, when you talk about the Daily Wire policy, you know what feeling it gives me? Gives me a feeling of the elites are coordinated together to hide stuff from us. That feeling is a greater harm than even death, because it's the death of our whole society. It's the death of openness. It's the death of open engagement. To me, that is a much worse harm than some other people deciding that they commit crimes and I'm not involved and I don't consider my causal link to these crimes as being as direct as it would be implied by the Daily Wire policy. So, all in all, as a deontological philosopher, I do not like calculations of harm because you can get anything with this. You can get to any point. Just as I've demonstrated, you can get to the point where an audience member decides to start killing people so that I stop saying this or that. You cannot let yourself be controlled by others. That is the greatest harm because it's the abolishment of liberty and it's the rise of anarchy, control, and intimidation. When you think about it, what the Daily Wire is doing through this policy is letting their work be subject to a form of extortion. It's not even a form of extortion from current shooters or past shooters. They are thinking about future potential shooters. And they're saying they would be encouraged if we name the past shooters. So that's a pre-crime, intimidation, extortion-based consideration. It is absolutely immoral in my behavioral code and in my moral preferences. This is the worst. It disgusts me to the greatest extent. To me, society, a well-ordered society, is built by people who have ordered principle, and truth is very high for me around in terms of the order. It's not the first. I prioritize my existence first, and then my liberty, and then the truth. But that's the order, and as you have noticed, none of these three things include considerations of harm. Considerations of harm come much later. That is my view on this policy. WH, WH, WH sends $25. Thank you so much for supporting the show. You guys with your super chats are holding us alive and eating cherries, and I enjoy it. He says, long time listener, first time donator. Thank you for all you do, JF. Thank you so much. I wanted to show you some pictures. I haven't did a full review of the garden, but just look at this. We had this cherry today. We have the black currants that are slowly taking their ripe colors. They will become totally black, but for now, some of them have become reddish. This is the greenhouse. The tomato plants are doing awesome. They are now at basically half of the final height that they will reach, approximately here. We have our cucumbers, squashes that are doing good. Swiss chard is growing. Look at the lettuce raised bed. I mean, this is gonna be healthy stuff. It's so beautiful. I'm so proud of mastering lettuce farming at this point. There's going to be so much lettuce to eat. It's going to be awesome. And I've built this. This is what I've been working on. I didn't show any picture of it. This is what I've been working on for about a week and a half. This was almost fully constructed with leftover lumber that I had because the price of lumber is insane. But I had accumulated a lot of leftover from previous projects, the greenhouse. I had bought way too much lumber. And so I had the opportunity to make a full building without buying much. I just had to buy some extra boards here, a few boards to complete the walls. And the goal of this is to be a storage shed that will be welcoming mostly logs, but perhaps some other things. The goal is to protect the logs from the ice and the snow in the winter. Because me and Mama JF, we found out when we leave the logs exposed to the elements, a lot of ice develops, and the logs at the bottom are extremely hard to pull out of the ice. So you would think you can just leave the logs anywhere, but it's really not practical and not comfortable. And on top of it, when they are wet, you bring them inside, they are covered in snow, they bring a lot of water inside. That's a lot of things to clean, you know? So I thought, let's create just beside the window here. I've created this full storage space for basically a full winter of logs, and I'll be able to pass them into the window so they will not be affected at all by the snow and the rain. So that's how I built. I'm not finished. I have to put some spackle here to fill in the holes. But I've built it with the planks here are 1 by 6 by various lengths. So they are 1 by 6s. Mama JF, what's up?
Hey, I thought you were making a space for me to have a baby
I
then.
mean, you could totally deliver in this Jesus Christ like. What's the name for this in English? In French, we say crèche. What is the thing in which Jesus Christ is born?
Barn.
The barn? Is it a barn
I
that you guys
don't
say? We say crèche.
It really looked like that.
Yes, it's really beautiful. I mean, totally. The woman enters here, delivers the baby, exits here, and there you go. You have a baby, and we could buy a cow, maybe, to be more Bible-like. Was there a cow in the Bible?
A little sheep
A little
too.
sheep.
Yes.
We could have three mages.
The mages. Oh no, there's no black people here.
Black people. You think that reproducing the full birth of Jesus Christ requires one black mage?
Yes.
Yes, I have to grant it to you. It
Oh
seems to be it's a crib or a creche. Someone says cradle. Well, is it a cradle or is it a crib? A stable. People are suggesting three different words. Is it the crib of Jesus Christ? Is it the cradle? Go away says Jesus was born in a cock shed.
no. Because she cheated on him.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the whole there was no paternity test back then, right? Yes. Well, I'm very proud of my building, Mama
Maybe it
JF.
was a black maid.
The black mage, well, then Jesus would be as is suggested by Matt Damon in the movie Dogma,
Yes,
Jesus
but
would be black.
me too, I was going to say that. That was so funny.
Mama JF really loved Dogma. Why don't we watch Dogma again tonight, Mama JF? That was a good movie. It's a movie I'm willing to watch many times. WH sends another $25 super chat. He says, I've been trying to donate 100 to JF for 3 days. Guess I have to do it $25 at a time. I've never heard of this problem. People have been like Jan has been sending super chats in the amount of I think one time he did $1,000. So it's definitely possible on the Odyssey side, but perhaps your credit card has limits on, you know, these internet sites. They don't trust them. So perhaps they will limit it to 25. In which case it's really appreciated, and there's no difference in the fees because Odyssey is all about percentage. So if you give me $25 four times, it gives as much as if you gave 100. So in terms of the construction, I've used 4x4s stemming directly from the cement blocks. I've built a floor with 2x6s, and I've built 2x6 here, 2x6 here, 2x6 here. It goes deep in the back, and then I've used 2x6 here to support the weight of the roof. The roof is angled. And then I've put 2x4s to sustain the weight of the roof between each 2x6. So you have two screws here holding the roof. I can show you from the inside. So I have air supports that are metal support to support the roof weight, 2x4 to support the roof planks, and it's really totally lumber. It's like I didn't use any plywood, because you know what the price of plywood is these days? It's ridiculous. I mean, this was leftover wood, so it cost me basically zero. Less than $100 for a few supplementary planks. But if I had built this in plywood, it's like more than $100 per planks of plywood. So even today, it would probably be less costly to use these natural lumber 1x6s. And I don't know that they're worse than plywood. They're probably better, in fact. So that's what I did. I've put some cross braces to support the planks of the wall. So I put a 2x4 here, 2x4 here, 2x4 here. And the planks of the wall are attached to these cross braces with nails. And that's the final result. Of course, I do have some spackling to do on some holes that are here. I want to make some silicone on the cracks of the roof so that water doesn't enter. But I'm very proud. I think that my building skills are getting better every time. This is extremely solid, better done than my raised bed, better done than my greenhouse. But I've learned so much from these past experiences. It's absolutely fantastic. Silver Spider says, wood is so expensive now. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right. Do we want to have callers today? There is someone in the waiting room. So if you'd like to ask a question, you can, of course, use the super chat system. But if you'd like to speak with me, you can join the Discord. The Discord link is in the description below. And make sure you join the waiting room. Prepare your earphones and mic. And I will slide you in the JF Lounge when I'm ready to speak with you. Doubting Thomas is here on the waiting room. Let's see if he's all set up. Hello, Doubting Thomas. Are you there? Hello, Doubting Thomas. Are you there? All right, Doubting Thomas, you're going to have to figure out how to unmute yourself. It seems that you are muted or not there. Firestarter says, how much were the foundation blocks, JF? They were very cheap. The six cement blocks I've used, I believe, were something like $8 each. And that's Canadian dollar. So the equivalent of $6 each. And I was like, I was asking for the price before they put it on the bid, because I was like, did it raise crazily like the lumber? And they said, no, the cement blocks, they're the same price that they were many years ago. So I ended up paying something like $8 per block, which is totally fine. I think it's a decent price to pay for something that heavy, you know? Mark says, everything gone through the roof, which is now without plywood. Yes, I mean, plywood is something that is interesting as a building material if it's cheap. But if it's more costly than the equivalent surface in in planks. I'm gonna use planks. I don't care. Plywood is this thing where, oh, okay, you've made a fake piece of lumber with glue and wood chips. Congratulations. I'm gonna buy it from you if it can cost me less than using natural wood planks. But if it costs more, it's not interesting. Silver Spider says, I think you should do a shingle or metal roof. I mean, I've been thinking about this, but is there really a function to this? The wood planks, you know, I'm looking at my raised bed. The wood planks are exposed to all of the natural elements. They don't fall off. They don't get destroyed. So why do we put shingles on roofs? What is the reason? Because shingles have all sorts of problems. You have to change them eventually. They get all curvy and stuff. Unpause says that's MDF, not plywood. You're right. Sorry, but when I say plywood, I always think MDF. It has to do with the terms we use in French, and I confuse them. But yeah, that's okay, MDF. But this MDF plank is super high cost. It's there's no reason to buy this at this point. Homophobic Telescope reveals first high-res images of deep space. Ladies and gentlemen, we had not realized when we were presenting all these images from the universe to you. I thought I was just presenting scientific data. No, I was presenting scientific data from a homophobic telescope. Why is it an homophobic telescope? Because it was named the Webb Space Telescope. And James Webb oversaw the Lavender Scare during his tenure as NASA's second administrator. The Lavender Scare was a McCarthy-era moral panic in which suspected queer employees were exposed and purged from government positions. Well, I didn't know this. I didn't know that there had been a purge of queer people under McCarthy, or in the period of McCarthy at least. Very interesting. And I didn't know that officials of NASA were involved in this. One thing we learned today that shocked me, because I've not been following this for so long, the euro. The euro has fell below the dollar parity. Are you kidding me? So I used to have when I was paid in euros, you know, when I was doing contracts and writing and stuff, it was like gold. I would trade it for 2 times the USD amount. Like, you give me 2 euros, I was getting 4 USD. And then I was getting even more Canadian dollars. But no, the euro is now 1-to-1 with USD. 1 euro equals 1 USD. I had never thought this possible. I don't know why they've done this. I mean, it's ultimately the policies of the euro, I guess, are inflationary, and it has lost its attraction value. Perhaps it's becoming more and more difficult to do business with people inside Europe because they have super high costs, they have red tape, they have high taxes. So as the government takes over and kills business, kills the businesses, there's nothing interesting that you could buy in euros. And on top of it, you think about maybe, okay, well, what about the real estate? Well, the real estate will lose its value and interest because who would want to go live in Europe really at this point? I mean, you're going to be racially intimidated, you're going to be harassed for who you are, especially if you're white, and you're going to be in absolutely undesirable places to live. So, and in terms of business, there's just no possibility to make business there. So I guess that's why the total, and on top of it, the price of gas probably makes a lot of their things impossible to do. When you think about it, this is very much tied to what Bill Gates had come to say on the show. You know, Bill Gates said this Russia-Ukraine war is ultimately a war from America to Germany. And you can see that they've been successful at it. They created all this shit in Ukraine. And the net result is Europe doesn't have what it needs to produce, becomes incapable of producing, and it becomes too high of a cost to produce, and the euro loses value. Go away says, you will have parity with the USD and you will be happy. Klaus Schwab, come out of this body. Silver Spider says, depends on what you're protecting with the roof. You can treat the wood, paint it, etc., but that needs to be redone occasionally or the wood will warp slash split. Shingles are pretty cheap and good roof lasts 10 years. Yeah, exactly. But I was thinking, I'm going to paint it. I'm going to protect it in the same way I protected the raised bed. But is there any additional, like, is the shingle protecting the planks more? Because it's my impression that they will be subjected to the effects of time and maybe humidity. Perhaps not the humidity coming from the rain directly, but the humidity in the air. So I think, and on top of it, I just don't know how do you undo a shingle roof? Do you have to scrape it out? How does that work? I'm worried about these things, which is why I prefer painting it in the way my greenhouse is painted and has been resisting the test of time. So that's why I took the decision that I took. But you know what? I just saw, I went to the hardware store. I saw that there were shingles in on sale. So I could easily buy a lot of shingles for very cheap. Like they were on sale of the kind, please get it, please go away with these shingles. I would basically have them for free. They want to get rid of it. So I would consider doing it, but I'm kind of scared. I don't know. Maybe I should. If the shingles are free, I should, shouldn't I? Adapting Thomas says, JF, I think, and how does it work? Is it, do you lay tar? So you put some black tar directly on the wood, or is there a layered thing? And how does the shingle work? Do you nail it in? You're gonna have to explain all of this to me, Silver Spider, because that's what I'm worried about. How does one put the shingle in place? Is it just the tar that holds it? It's like glue? Or is there something else? Do I have to nail them in? Because it seems that if I nail them in, I create a hole in which water will flow, so I don't want to do it. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, I think I'm able to unmute, but I could not hear you on Discord. Did you have it muted? you should hear me on Discord, Doubting Thomas. If you are not hearing me right now, you have to set up your earphones or speaker so that you can hear me. Are you there, Doubting Thomas? So yeah, please figure it out. And definitely Discord is getting my voice because I see my little icon and it's flashing with sound right now. I can do a double check to be sure. Yes, right there. You should receive me. So the problem is on your receiving side, Doubting Thomas. Do we need a new theory of evolution? A new wave of scientists argues that mainstream evolutionary theory needs an urgent overhaul. Their opponents have dismissed them as misguided careerists, and the conflict may determine the future of biology. Someone asked me to comment on this. It's absolute crap. It is not a new view of evolutionary theory. It is not promising. These people are, yes, misguided careerists who are trying to make it look like their ideas are new, but they are not challenging the order of the theory of evolution, of the importance of natural selection. It's all people making it look like they're innovating when they're not. Strange as it sounds, scientists still do not know the answers to some of the most basic questions about how life on Earth evolved. Take eyes, for instance. Where do they come from exactly? The usual explanation of how we got these stupendously complex organs rests upon the theory of natural selection. Well, there you go. There's your explanation for eyes. Natural selection. Having eyes is better than not having eyes. Having just a little cell that detects just a little bit of light is better than having nothing. Having 5 of these cells is better than having 2. Having 10 of these cells super organized in layers is better than 2. So it gets better as the eye gets better, up to the point where there's a point at which eye resolution, further eye resolution, would be more costly than beneficial. And the eye stabilizes evolutionarily through natural selection so that you have just enough of the vision that is good for your survival, but not of the extra vision that wouldn't be needed or wouldn't be good for your survival. Simple as this. What issue do they take with the eye? You may recall the gist. If a creature with poor eyesight happens to produce offspring with slightly better eyesight, thanks to random mutations, then that tiny bit more vision gives them more chance of survival. The longer they survive, the more chance they have to reproduce and pass on the genes that equip them with slightly better eyesight. Some of their offspring might, in turn, have better eyesight than their parents, making it likelier that they, too, will reproduce, and so on. Generations by generation, over unfathomably long period of time, tiny advantages add up. Eventually, after a few hundred million years, you have creatures who can see as well as humans or cats or owls. So there's no problem. You got your full explanation there. What's the problem with this? Why do we need a new theory of evolution to explain this? This is the basic story of evolution as recounted in countless textbook and pop science bestsellers. The problem, according to a growing number of scientists, is that it is absurdly crude and misleading. It is not absurdly crude and misleading. What is their basis to say this? We're gonna get to it. For one thing, it starts midway through the story. Taking for granted the existence of light-sensitive cells, lenses, and irises, without explaining where they came from in the first place. Well, that is very simple. You start with light-sensitive cells. They are subject to natural selection too. They are good in and of themselves without lenses and irises. If you just have one light-sensitive cell that tells you this is the day, this is the night, you're already a better animal. You're already better fit to respond to the environment. You already are more likely to survive and reproduce. Lenses and irises come later. They come later because they add to this initial benefit and they evolve too according to natural selection. Nor does it adequately explain how such delicate and easily disrupted components meshed together to form a single organ. Well, again, it's the order of evolution ends up giving the single organ. It's because evolving irises and lenses is useless at first if you don't have light-sensitive cells. So you get light-sensitive cells. But in a world where animals are equipped with light-sensitive cells, Then you have the possibility for a second event of natural selection. This second event of natural selection is the appearance of lenses, irises, or both. And so they wouldn't have appeared without the light-sensitive cells. But now that you are in a world with light-sensitive cells, irises become favored. That's why they get into complex organs. And because there is a layered approach to the full organ, because each element of the full organ evolve one after the other, rather than together and at the same time, it ends up forming a single organ, because you wouldn't be evolutionarily advantaged if you had lenses appearing in your legs or your arms. You are evolutionarily favored if your DNA finds a way to put a lens right in front of the light-sensitive cells. That's why we evolved this way. So basically, it's an entire article of crap. Although credit to The Guardian, they do give voice to scientists who are serious biologists who say, no, guys, this is crap. You don't have a basis to question the theory of evolution as it stands. You're bringing nothing novel. You are just creating new words and making it look like you discovered something. It's absolutely that kind of crap. And they were talking about their conference of these renegade biologists, and they're also mentioning that serious scientists have decided not to attend this conference because they found it incendiary. And it is incendiary, but every 5 or 10 years you get this wave of mainstream media articles that claim there's something wrong with the theory of evolution. You get a bunch of scientists appearing and trying to self-elevate as offering a solution, and none of these solutions come to add anything. That's why, as it stands, biology is still complete under Richard Dawkins' The Selfish Gene. There's still nothing better than this, the extended phenotype, and then the revolutionary phenotype. But the revolutionary phenotype doesn't overtake everything that Dawkins did. It just adds a special exception for a special type of event. That's all you need for explaining the world. So Silver Spider says there is a layer between the wood and the shingles of insulation. When you layer the shingles, you nail them down in layers so that every next row covers the nails of the other shingles. You nail shingles with roof, and oddly enough, says you nail shingles with roofing nails that have a wide head, placing them towards the top of the shingle. The next row covers the hole, adding rows until the peak of the roof. Ah, very nice. But then, yeah, I do have roofing nails. I actually use roofing nails, believe it or not, for most of my nail needs. I somehow like them. I just like them. I don't know why I like them. But then he was talking about the shingles of insulation. There is a layer between the wood and the shingles of insulation. A layer of what? Of tar? So is it tar straight on the roof? Then I nail the shingles? Or am I missing something? Tar, nail the shingles. Or is it tar, layer of insulation, and then nail the shingles? Shelburne says you could use rolled roofing, cheapest option, with tar paper underneath. It comes in rolls. Ah, tar paper. Do I need tar paper on the roof? Based says, Jeff, where do you place sensitivity in terms of relevance when it comes to intelligence? Is it something which is relevant and is tempered by the adequate father, disciplinarian, who imposes limits on you so that you can later impose limits on yourself, which allows for more granular thinking? Is sensitivity relevant to intelligence? That's your question. I mean, to some extent, someone will not develop good conversational and intellectual skills, I guess, if you are not sensitive to them and their needs. Is it tempered by the adequate father being a disciplinarian who imposes limits on you so that you can later impose limits on yourself? Yes, there must be some degree of coaching of, you know, this is how we do our homeworks and let's go, pack, 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 let's do this, 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 and give the kind of freedom to the working, to the work ethics of the child. Yes, I would say some degree of what you call, what you seem to call disciplinarian. I don't like the term disciplinarian because to me it's not discipline. Disciplinarian in terms of punishing children, I don't like it much. Certainly, sometimes you have to in terms of extreme behavior. But I like coaching and driving the rhythm. You know, when I play Monopoly, I'll give you an example, and that is a very good parental skill to have. When I play Monopoly, immediately I become the leader and I lead the game happening. Same thing in poker. If we start playing Texas Hold'em and there's some slow player on the table, I'll be starting to develop the rhythm of the game and I'll be like, it's your turn. You've been re-raised. What do you do? I will impose on those people who are the slowest to follow the rhythm. And I will do so by imposing a prompt where they may not have perceived it. Because you always have these low attention players in like friends and family poker games where they're not looking at the action. It's like, oh, I'm just having fun eating peanuts. And then JF comes and he's like, it's your turn. You've been re-raised. What are you going to do? Fold, call, or re-raise? That kind of attitude can be very good in terms of coaching for learning, in terms of, yeah, you know, you have a one-page text to write, you have to get going. Here, what's your first sentence? How are you going to approach this text? That kind of thing has been done by my mother to me, and that is definitely... It changes how quick you are at deploying proper responses when you need to produce something. Doubting Thomas says, JF, sorry about the audio issues, and then he deletes his chat. Not only does he have audio issues, he then sends me chats, and then he deletes them so I can't read them. Holy shit, Doubting Thomas, you have... overall communication issues. Oh, okay, so he wanted to send it as a super chat. Thank you so much for sending the super chat. He says, sorry about the audio issues, so if you can humor me, I put what I wanted to chat about in a post in the general chat room of Discord. Okay, let's have a look at his post. He says, so I was thinking about the JWST, so the James Webb Telescope image, with all of the galaxies, particularly where in the image you can see a galaxy on both sides of the massive center due to gravitational lensing, I realized that if they put additional small mirrors to recombine the light from these two, what you have is actually a giant interferometer, an optical device that acts similar to the double slit experiment. Going further, you may ask, what can you do with this? It would probably be extremely sensitive to gravitational waves and the expansion of the universe. Alternatively, if you measure the contrast of the resulting interference pattern, you can actually set limits on the quantum coherence length of light/photons in free space, a measure of quantumness. Typical models of quantum coherence say that massless particles such as photons should have infinite coherence length in free space, but this neglects that the two very far away photons can interact with each other through virtual electrons and other particles in the vacuum field by so-called box diagram processes. And he sends me a reference to two-photon physics. Two-photon physics, also called gamma-gamma physics, is a branch of particle physics that describes the interactions between two photons. You know what? I happen to be an expert of this because I have done some two-photon microscopy back in my PhD days, not as my main subject of my thesis, but I happen to have been trained on two-photon microscopy. I don't remember any of it, though. But I think your thinking there is extremely interesting. I wouldn't be surprised that they've been thinking about this. Like a gravitational lens, when you think about it, it's like the inverse of a two-slit experiment. In the sense that the light was going away. In the two-slit experiment, the light is being selected as already going away, and then it creates the interference pattern. In the case of the gravitational lens, the light was headed somewhere else, but it's curved back to the center so you can detect it. I don't know if this allows serious investigation of interference patterns, because you would need then, in principle, you would need an array of detectors. Now they do that, they do these array detections, but I don't know if you can do this with the James Webb telescope, because I don't know if it has a length that is sufficient. For detecting an interference pattern, you need to do multiple points. You need to have a long space on which you receive various deflections of the signal, and then you can do it. That being said, forget about the idea of an interference pattern. I don't think that this is what you need. I think what you need is the very mechanism that exists in two-photon microscopy, and I would have to research it. Two-photon microscopy. Yeah, the problem with two-photon microscopy is that it's excitation-based. So that's exactly why you probably can't do two-photon analysis from the James Webb telescope. It's not, the two-photon microscope is not a relevant example, because the two-photon microscopy is an imaging technique that allows imaging of living tissue up to about 1 millimeter in thickness. Unlike traditional fluorescence microscopy, two-photon excitation requires simultaneous excitation by two photons with longer wavelength than the emitted light. So in this case, you have an emitted light, and you know very well that this emitted light will not be detected by your detector. What your detector requires, because your detector is set at the energetic threshold for two photons rather than one, so it requires two quanta of excitation to trigger a detection. But as such, it removes a lot of the things that would normally blind you. It removes the parts of the tissue you don't want to see, and it allows you to focus extremely in a thin layer of the tissue you're interested in, and not be blinded by what's above or below. Is there an equivalent thing you could do with a faraway galaxy coming to you through gravitational lensing? From a single point of receipt, I guess the only thing you can do is set a different threshold. And I'm sure they do that all the time, you know, set a more severe threshold so that you end up not capturing one photon, two photon, you end up capturing 10 or 20 photons. So I believe that through their settings of contrast and various settings that they have access to, they're probably doing the equivalent of two photon microscopy without the excitation component. Now, interference patterns, they will do it, but mostly on Earth, as far as I know. Mostly on Earth because they have multiple arrays of telescope and they can do a full interference pattern over the entire area of reception. Can they do it with a smaller array on a single James Webb telescope? I don't know. Maybe they can. Mark says, JF, do you believe in quantum supremacy? I've given my thoughts about this many times. I think the pursuit of quantum supremacy is ridiculous. I think there's going to be a very small subset of problems that are handled better by quantum computers. I find it annoying because it's like, yeah, any computer will be supreme in some domain. Like, GPUs are supreme in making 3D calculations. Have we declared GPU supremacy? No, we didn't. And so this whole quantum supremacy is a marketing term for a bunch of academics who want to elevate their work as being more important than it really is. It's like, oh, you've made a super specialized form of a CPU and it does its specialized thing better than the non-specialized CPU. I'm not impressed. That being said, I'm extremely excited at the idea of CPU optics. Because I've seen the power of optics for networking so much more powerful. I want CPU and RAM to be optical. I want bits of photons bumping on each other, making the computations, and this is going to create so much less heat. Can you imagine once we do our computations with optics, you get no heat? It would be beautiful. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, you can do multiple points of space, but as in an interferometer, you don't necessarily need an array. You just need to toggle the phase using, for example, a prism or a change in the path lengths. As for two-photon excitation, that is a separate phenomena. The two-photon physics phenomena I sent you occurs in free space interaction. Two-photon physics, okay, as opposed to two-photon microscopy. Two-photon physics... Well, yes, there are interactions between photons, I get it. I think it's very interesting what you suggest, that there may be something to do with it. I'm not informed enough to tell you whether this has been tried or whether it's worth exploring, but I feel excited at your idea. I just don't know. Studied in high-energy particle accelerators. Okay, you know, my dream has been to make surgery in space, to send two light rays at a given angle with the hope that, let's say, they will meet, but in a billion years from now. So you send these two light rays and you plan an interaction such that when these two light rays will meet, you will have the creation of matter. If we were to master eventually the conversion of light energy into matter, I would love to do surgery in space. You would be like creating a little gnome out there a billion years away in that direction by just sending two rays of light that when they meet, they end up forming certain forms of matter. Based says, Jeff, so as opposed to corporal punishment, you would prefer to put the kid in a thinking chair for 30 minutes, come back and invite them to convince you as to why their behavior was right Whereupon they would exhaust their arguments and you would lay out why that you want them to do his best. I don't know, man. Even that I find extremely condescending, and I don't know that I would discipline a child in that way. Like, you're gonna have to think about it, and you're gonna have to come up with an explanation. Give me an argument. I don't know, I'm not that kind of parent, I guess. And it seems to me that any form of punishment of children is required with children who have behavioral problems. I don't know if I will be confronted with levels of behavioral problems that require such an intervention, but I've never been. And so to me, a well-educated child should not rise to the point where you need to put them in a chair for thinking for 30 minutes. That sounds bizarre to me. Silver Spider says, how small could we really make fiber optics? Last I heard, it was the diameter of a human hair. Yeah, I'm very excited at the idea of multiple fiber optics cable. Like, what if we could fit basically 100 different fiber optics cable in a millimeter wide tube? Then it would be like, not only do you have optics fiber internet, you have optic fiber internet times 100. Wouldn't that be beautiful? I would be excited. 10x! You know, I would love to celebrate the day I get my current internet speed 10x, just because they've decided to 10x the whole network, and they decided to 10x all fiber optics cable. That is so nice, because then there's no limit, really. It's like, how quick do you want to transfer data? Because we're just going to 10x it until you get there. Donald Trump's ex-wife, Ivana Trump, dead at 73, former president announces. Okay, too bad that she died. But I have no respect for this woman, because she has done false rape allegations against Trump. Donald Trump's ex-wife, Ivana, disavows old rape allegation that was in 2015. And so I'm not going to cry the death of someone, a woman who uses false rape allegations, even if Trump apparently is still friends with her and respects her enough to be positive in his review of her life. Personally, once you make false allegations of rape, I fully lose respect for you forever until you die, and that disrespect will continue and survive your death. The Celsius native token falls 48.85% after filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy hours ago. Man, I've not been following the Celsius story. I have no idea what this is about, but certainly it's a cryptocurrency that is failing, and it's putting a lot of people in trouble. They're filing for bankruptcy. Thankfully, I don't have Celsius. Mama JF says, I have good genes, JF. I was always listening to the teachers and everything. Something tells me that you had more of a revolutionary spirit that you are currently displaying, Mama JF. Something tells me that you may have been troubled for your teachers. New evidence undercuts January 6th instigator conspiracy theory. So basically, the New York Times has done a very how could we say, a soft and very pro Ray Epps review of the story of Ray Epps. And they present him as a victim. And He's been the subject of conspiracy theory. Ray Epps was this old guy who was seen before January 6th during the night encouraging protesters to, yeah, tomorrow, let's do it. So he was pushing protesters toward the way of entering the Capitol and perhaps even, you know, destroying things to some extent, or at least challenge the police that were trying to keep them out. So he's been widely presented as a fed by right-wing outlets of all kinds, but not me. Anytime I've reviewed the Ray Epps story, my conclusion was, that's a guy yelling to people to enter. That's not evidence that he's a fed. And maybe he's a fed, but based on the evidence I've been given, I've always refused to get on that bandwagon because I find that he was declared a fed by people who, with low standards of evidence. Now, it would be nice to know if Ray Epps is a fed, but I'm not going to declare that he's a fed based solely on his behavior, because he could have been just an old guy wanting trouble that day. Mark says, yeah, and many probably had near-death experience as well. Why risk it and not go for it right now? And he was responding to Thomas Howard saying, a lot of geniuses and Nobel Prize winners were hit or humiliated as children. Why risk it? I don't know. I don't know that this is true. I don't know that this is true at all. Nobel Prize winners humiliated as children. Never heard this. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, now regarding if NASA is working on things like I mentioned, I think they may be too busy creating psychedelic desktop wallpaper and promising to find alien life. Oh yeah, NASA is something. In terms of a waste of money, I think it surpasses anything we've done in the past. The way we are putting money into this thing, there will not be great repercussions from future discoveries in space. Basically, the story of the universe as we know it in current science will not be greatly improved by space research. We just have to stop investing money in space research, come back to Earth, concentrate on ourselves, concentrate on fixing society. Space research is a good thing when you have surplus. But we are less and less in a society of surplus. We are headed toward a society of lack, of scarcity. And I find it absolutely wasteful, this exploration of space that we do. And a last news item before we close the show. A judge rejects Virginia School District's bid to stop state investigation of transgender rape cover-up. So that is the whole story of, you know, when a father came and was pissed in a Virginia school. He was like, my daughter was raped. And it was all hidden and people were denying it. It didn't happen. And then eventually people realized, oh, it did happen. It was just covered up by the school, because the rapist was a transgender male to female. So he was one of these people who gained access to female bathrooms and who are biological males. They converted to female appearance, and this particular person ended up raping two people, I believe. Two women, two girls. The Virginia Attorney General that's now charged to investigate this matter has said that everything that they will do will be open, that they will inform the public, that, you know, that there will be nothing hidden. And the school had sued, believe it or not, they had sued the attorney general by asking a judge to keep secrecy in this case. Probably on the thinking that, well, the offender is a transgender, so if it gets found that that he was a rapist or that she was a rapist, I don't know how they identify at this moment. If people found out, it would lead to more discrimination. But the judge has refused, and I'm very happy about this decision, because you can't have a two-tier justice system where if you're black or if you're trans, we're going to hide it from the public. If you want justice, again, this goes back to the original subject that I talked about on this very show at the beginning. Truth must be a priority, because if you don't have truth, if you have, oh, we're going to use these excuses to hide something from the public, then there's never evidence that these cases get processed at all. And if you're not in the public eye, you have no pressure to give actual justice where it should be obtained. So I'm happy that the judge decided that no, there would be no secrecy, and that it's totally fine that the attorney general exposes the details of this case. I guess we're going to get some juicy details eventually coming out of it, because it's been open to the public. Silver Spider says, hey JF, have you seen The Martian? It starts off good but ends woke. I think I did. The Martian, is it the one with, yeah, with Matt Damon? It's amazing, because this was a crazy year. You know, 2015, it was a crazy year for space movies. And The Martian isn't totally bad. But unfortunately, you know, Interstellar is just better. And Interstellar is another movie in which Matt Damon is in space. I don't know exactly how you get this kind of overlap, but so it's too bad for The Martian. But yeah, The Martian is not a bad movie, but it's like there are some aspects of the cinematography that is absolutely annoying. It's like this whole personal journal type of moments where Matt Damon is like talking to the camera a little bit like he's talking to YouTube. That is bizarre. It makes the whole thing less grandiose. And when he says things like, I'm gonna botany the fuck out of this planet, I'm cringing. I'm cringing when he says, I'm gonna botany the fuck out of this planet. It's like, oh my god, it's the badass scientist. Holy shit. The scientist is so badass in his interest for plants that he's gonna botany the fuck out of Mars. It's cringy. Could have been better. The idea is not bad, and it's quite fascinating to consider a case of survival on a Mars basis where basically and there's something I don't understand. If you're on Mars and your door breaks, it seems to me that the atmosphere of Mars is basically empty. It seems you can't have wind. I have to rewatch the movie because I don't fully remember. But I remember thinking, what the fuck is happening here? He has his window broken, and he has a tent like some cover of something that kind of holds that's meant to hold the oxygen generated by the plants in. It's all makeshift tent-like retainer of oxygen. You're gonna tell me that this is holding any oxygen in? I couldn't believe it personally. I think that you need something solid, because if you have this wavy tent-like structure, it seems to me that you lose all your oxygen in like a second. But it doesn't seem to be like that in the movie. If I remember correctly, basically, Matt Damon is surviving in a very leaky base. Too leaky. Silver Spider says, money for the manger. Thank you very much. Based says, I want to hear more. Maybe you should write a book on parenting, going through all the age ranges and types of situations or behaviors, conflict resolution, where you put the limits / boundaries, Papa JF's rhythmic parenting. Yeah, I'm going to release what I think about parenting as I go through life. And as I said, you know, I might release a video or two per year telling you guys what I believe about parenting. And maybe, you know, in many years from now, I can collect all of these thoughts and make a book from it. But yeah, you know, people keep talking about putting boundaries. And I'm certainly a privileged person, because I don't know that I need boundaries of that kind. For now, I don't know that I'll ever need some. But that's the difference between, you know, most people need boundaries. Why? Because if you let your child sleep too late, they're going to be tired the next day. They can't go to the school, and the school starts at 8 a.m. If you live the homeschooling lifestyle and the farming lifestyle, all of these things don't matter. So there's so much that a normie parent has to do to maintain their child healthy, that if you just set your life a little differently, none of these obligations come to be. So you can be a much more libertarian parent, perhaps, in my kind of life than in the normie's life, where they have to wake up at this hour exactly because they need to get to work, they need to bring their child to the daycare. And that's where the boundaries come. And I've been working extremely hard in my life to have as little boundaries as possible. So I don't see myself imposing huge boundaries as, oh, you need to learn discipline. I'm not that kind of guy. Really not. Really not. I think positive interest with discovery, self-discovery, self-exploration of the world. Oh yeah, I'm building this. So, of course, when you're building something, you use the opportunity to expose your children to what is building, how does it work, but you let them come to it themselves. You don't have to say, all right, today you have to learn how to do cross braces. It's leave it much looser, and they will come to you naturally to ask you, what are these things? And then you can explain to them what's a cross brace. I find this much more beautiful, much more training of the proper self-curiosity, self-motivation mechanism in their brain, rather than, oh, today we have on schedule that you will learn how to do cross braces. Let them look at the thing, let them approach you, and let them, if they want, ask questions about it. And then you have no boundary, you have no imposition, you have no categorization that you're forcing in their brain. They all want to discover it. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. Bye bye. Thank you.